Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program bearing the same name as a book, Phantom Nation, inventing the Palestinians as the obstacle to peace, available on Amazon in an electronic Kindle book or a two-volume hardcover box set, or you can patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It's an atomic bomb of a book that blasts to mendacious smithereens this generation's successor to anti-Semitism. It's called Palestinian Nationalism. In this edition, we'll focus on the 70-year-old thorn in Israel's sides, the Gaza Strip, and how fitting that the Torah reading yesterday included the expression, a thorn in your sides, referring to the Canaanites in the land of Canaan, as it was called at that moment. Israel was commanded to preferably expel them and turn it into the land of Israel. But if necessary, if they wouldn't go, they had to kill them, because there was no way the Israelites could live with the Canaanites in the same place, in peace, tranquility, and harmony, because the Canaanites were so barbaric of the seed of Ham. The Canaanites were into human sacrifice and child sacrifice and every sexual perversion imaginable. And one can only wonder how many Jews in their synagogues yesterday in Sderot and other Gaza envelope communities felt the eerie coincidence of reading in the Sefer Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers, chapter 33, verse 55, that speaks of, quote, pins in your eyes and thorns in your sides, close quote, which is what the children of Israel would suffer by not expelling or killing the Canaanites, as this generation's version of pins and thorns, Hamas projectiles, were being fired at them out of Gaza. In this edition, we shall suggest a way of rethinking Gaza, which has been bleeding us since 1948. In every decade, men in Gaza, men out of Gaza, have murdered Jews, and they will periodically continue to do this until Israel radically rethinks outside the box and reconfigures what Gaza is and what must be done about it. Israel retreated from this artificial rectangle of real estate in 2005, thinking the people in the Strip would henceforth be grateful, smile at us, become friendly neighbors, but of course that never happened. I've lost track of the number of major operations like the one on Friday night, which have done a lot of damage, each one producing a ceasefire, but for sure over time they are forgotten and the Muslims in Gaza start attacking again. There's a better way, and we'll bring that up after the following words from Israel News Talk Radio.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom le Yehudim, shalom le Bnei Noach, shalom le Goyim. This is Phantom Nation, an internet radio program bearing the same name as a book, Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace, available on Amazon in a Kindle ebook and two-volume hardcover box set. Or patronize your local bookstore and have them order a copy. It's an atomic bomb of a book that explodes this generation's successor matrix of anti-Jew ideas to so-called anti-Semitism, a.k.a. Palestinian nationalism. It's the second day, Dalas B'chodesh Menachem Av, Parashas Dvarim, Tavshin Ayin Ches, 5778, the first day, Monday, 16 July 2018. Podcasting from clueless Israel, bereft of even one thought on how to heal the open wound of Gaza, which is as old as the state. All Israel ever asked for during these eruptions of violence out of Gaza is a ceasefire and a return to the relative quiet of a few days before. This time, 4 years exactly after the last eruption in 2014, you may remember when the Muslim Brothers in Gaza ordered the kidnapping and murder of those three observant Jewish students of the Holy Texts, which led to like 50 days of rocket fire into Israel launched by this nation of murderers. And that was like the previous eruptions since 2005, 13 years ago, when delusional Israelis retreated from the last third of Gaza in the hope this would bring smiles to the people in the Strip and turn them into good neighbors. But things didn't work out that way, did they? Fact of the matter is, Gaza has been a burning brand in our side since 1948. In the 1950s, there was no barrier around the Strip, as there is today, but just a joke of a wire fence, I remember it well. Anybody could get through it, and from time to time, would-be Jew killers would do that and come at Israel and murder Jews at random. These people were called Fidayin, in Arabic, those who sacrificed themselves, as were Haj Amin's assassins in the so-called Arab Revolt of the 1930s, also called Fidayin. Not until the 1970s, really, was the putatively Paleolithic Palestinian people born and their freedom fighters no longer Fedayeen. And that is a rewriting of known and factual history on a par with Holocaust denial. Holocaust denial is the deleting from the historical records of facts that make the denier uncomfortable. And Palestinian nationalism is the flip side of this same coin. The invention of facts about the past and their insertion into memory. In both cases, the past is rewritten. And I envy the future historians looking back on our time and pondering how it was that Israelis, of all people, allowed themselves to fall into this rape of history, the idea of a Palestinian people with rights to a state here on the Jewish people's promised land. Even the Gentiles in the League of Nations explicitly cited Palestine, the one they brought to life, a country unknown over 14 centuries of mostly oppressive Islamic domination here. Even the League of Nations in 1922 said this is the historic homeland of the Jewish people. And the historical record is barren of anyone at that time protesting against the League's mandate for ignoring the Palestinians, as that word is used today, because in those days the Arab policy was that there was no such people as Palestinians, there was no such country as Palestine. And there's certainly no room for a state for Al-Yahud here. Until the 1960s, the official Arab line was that there was no such country as Palestine. It was all southern Syria. And they were absolutely right from their point of view. In 1948, the Egyptians sent an army up the coast, like 120 miles from Port Said, toward the scruffy town called Gaza City, which was never a city. And the column, the military column, was intent on rolling beyond Gaza City, a few kilometers further up the coast, into Tel Aviv, killing as many Al-Yahud as necessary along the way, looting for sure, and ultimately occupying Tel Aviv. The Egyptians in 1948 did not see any Palestinian people here, deserving of their own state here. Throughout Arab history, there never was such a jurisdiction with a local Palestinian government governing the Palestinian people. These expressions, terms, concepts simply never existed. Israel declared independence and six Arab states invaded to prevent Palestine, created by the League of Nations, from becoming an independent state under the Jews. But no invading Arab Muslim army was here to midwife the birth of a Palestine owned and ruled by the Palestinians. Each aggressor Arab state wanted treasure and political power over the Holy Land, but that had nothing to do with a statehood for any Palestinians. No one respected the right of such a nation to a state in those days, least of all the Muslims and the Arabs. Today, Jews are reviled, for in 1948, we stole Palestine from Palestinians, and never mind the bizarre, unfair accusation that in 1948 the Jews did this when no Arab recognized such a nationality. In fact, in 1948, the only people proudly calling themselves Palestinians were Zionist Jews. In any case, things did not work out the way the Egyptians had hoped, as their military advance was stopped by the heroic kibbutzniks at Yad Mordechai, and thus was the famous, infamous Gaza Strip born. With the ceasefire, a rickety fence was thrown up around the Egyptian force, and behind it some 200,000 mostly migrant Arab workers in Palestine at the time. Today, I think some 140,000 Arabs in Judea and Samaria work in jobs provided by Israelis, and in those days too, no less, the country was full of such migrants from all over the Middle East, And when the war began, being human beings with no desire to be caught in the middle of the fighting, they ran behind Egyptian lines thinking that in a day or two or three the Egyptians would overrun Israel, kill lots of Al-Yahud, and that would enable them to return to where they had been and loot the homes of the dead Jews. But, again, things didn't turn out that way. And ever since, Gaza has been like a thorn in Israel's side, which, by the way, is a phrase not just from the Bible, but the very Torah reading on Shabbos 2 days ago. As the day passed, for hundreds of thousands of Jews in Sderot and all around the Gaza envelope communities, targeted by rockets and mortars and incendiaries from Gaza. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 55 says, "But if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, those of them who you leave shall be pins in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they will harass you upon the land in which you dwell." Close quote. And when it comes to Gaza, this is true, isn't it? Those missiles and mortars are like pins in our eyes and thorns in our sides. The Gaza Strip is 25 miles of beachfront property, 5 to 8 miles wide, and it is a wholly artificial settlement of people who do not sustain themselves. 70% of the 1.5 or so million Arabs there are functionally imprisoned there by the world that refuses to give them visas to start life anew someplace else. Israel does not keep them there. The world keeps them there in order to use the Strip as a base for murdering Jews in Israel at random. That's what Gaza's famous for. Last Friday night, Israel, after holding back for months, delivered 50 tons of ordnance onto Hamas structures in Gaza, smashing them to smithereens, which is the proven kind of response needed to suppress these periodic eruptions in Gaza of their need to murder Jews at random in Israel by firing rockets and mortars into our communities. And the wonder of it all is that not one Israeli leader, not one, talks of a solution to Gaza. All they ever want to do is return to the ceasefire and no violence. And the weirdness of this Israeli behavior is compounded by the utterly bizarre fact that even as Israel is bombarded by these rockets and incendiaries, Israel continues to provide the people of Gaza with electricity and other services. This is surely unheard of in the annals of the human race. Only the chosen people would do something so weird.
Yedid nefesh ahava rahaman meshoch avdecha el retzonecha yarutz avdecha kemo ayal yishtachave el mul hadarecha רב לו ידידותיך מנופת צוף וכל טעם
היי נלנאי
הדור נאה זיו העולם נפשי חולת אהבתך
הנה
Kelna hoy refana la beharot la noam zivecha az titchazek vetitrape vehaitala simchat olam
nay nay nay
vatik vatik Yemun arachamecha V'chusana Al ben ahuvecha
Hay, 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 hay
Ki ze Kama Nichsof Nichsafti Lirot mehera Betif'eret uzecha Elechamda חמדה ליבי וחוסנה ואל תתעלם
היי, 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 היי
היגאלה, היגאלה נא, ופרוס חביבי עליי את סוכת, את סוכת שלומך. תאיר ארץ מכבודך, נגילה ונשמחה בך. מהר אהוב קיב המועד וחוננו כימי עולם.
Hi everyone, this is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So, two nights ago, after midnight on Shabbos, the Israeli Air Force went to work, as it has surely done hundreds of times over Gaza, but never as part of a strategic operation meant to end the existence of Gaza as a platform for terror. In the 1950s, the Fedayeen crossed the ceasefire line to murder Jews in Israel at random. In the 1970s, the clandestine PLO gangs were based there that the IDF had to root out. Today, it is the Muslim Brotherhood and related Islamic murder cults who bleed us from there. I've lost track of the number of operations like these since 2005, when Israel retreated in hopes it would bring peace on the border, which it apparently has not. On Friday night, the IAF bombed the crap out of Hamas infrastructure, but left its leaders untouched. Pictures of the rubble are surely available online. A major destruction was done. This then led to a hellacious Shabbat in Sderot and environs, as over the next 12 hours, the barbarians fired some 200 projectiles. Blood was drawn this time from Jews. People were injured. But yesterday, after the umpteenth ceasefire negotiated with these Arab Muslims over the decades, quiet returned, with four exceptions, I think. Yesterday, I think three teams of helium balloon launchers were foiled by the IDF, this time firing at them, unlike weeks of only firing warning shots in their vicinity. And what's so amazing about modern warfare and its computer technology, leastwise from a report yesterday, we learned that before the IDF opened fire on these three teams, the people in the cells were identified as Hamas operatives. Sounds like a little facial recognition program is in the works there. During the day, I think a tank in the north opened fire, firing into the zone, the district, and a tank in the south also opened fire, as the Air Force dropped their tons of bombs on Hamas buildings. And that triggered a memory of 2001, actually, when the Muslims in Gaza began using built their first homemade rockets. This was after Shimon Peres and his fellow post-Jews had handed over two-thirds of the Strip 7 years before. I thought then that Israel had to answer these projectiles they were building and firing with our own projectiles, but we never did that. Then, after the retreat from Gaza in 2005 and the amazingly anti-Zionist destruction of the homes of Jews, as good governments over thousands of years had done that to us, I thought we should still have done that, fight fire with fire. If the Arabs in Gaza want to lob artillery out of the Strip into Israel, Israel should lob artillery back into the Strip, but with a greater force, of course, a disproportionate force. I had hoped Ariel Sharon would do that after the retreat, and the record has shown he thought of that, but was deterred by the IDF's leftist lawyers, fearful of violating international law. Sharon seems to have backed down, and that's a pity. What Israel had to do after leaving Gaza was line the barrier with artillery, and every time a rocket flew out of the Strip in the direction of Sderot, Israel should have lobbed three times the number of projectiles with far greater explosive power into the middle of an Unwa slum. with predictable results of destruction and death. For sure, the international community would howl if Israel did that, calling it a war crime. The deliberate firing of projectiles into a residential area to kill innocent civilians at random. And Israel would answer the charge. And what do you call what they're doing when they fire their Qassam rockets at Sderot? We retaliated in kind, and if you have no objection to this behavior on their part, you can have no objection to this behavior on ours. And we make no apologies for causing more death and destruction than these sub-civilized savages are capable of doing to us. Of course we do more damage. There is a greater loss of life and destruction, because our scientists and military engineers are civilized people, and lot smarter than these uncivilized savages, these wild asses of Muslim brother thugs who have nothing better to do in this life than attempt to murder Jews in our homes at random. They are reported as well to be working on drones equipped with an incendiary device and a timing device, so they can be sent into the center of Israel to come down anywhere and then explode and start a fire. And again, what is so strange about Israel is the absence of even one leader of any party with a plan to end Gaza's existence as this platform for periodic outbursts of bloodlust, the need to fire rockets at random into the homes of Jews in Israel. Whenever the Arabs get hot-headed like this and feel they must strike out like cobras at Jews, Israel sets as a goal a ceasefire and a return to peace and quiet. Never heard is a word of a plan after 70 years to solve the problem of Gaza once and for all. Yesterday I heard some MK, I think on the center-left, and his big idea was for a Marshall Plan for Gaza to fix it up, as if these Muslims light these incendiaries and fire rockets into Jewish communities on the Sabbath to protest economic conditions in Gaza. I think not. This activity is akin to the final stage of a Muslim's Hajj, which is commanded, he's commanded to perform at least once in a lifetime, to make the pilgrimage to Mecca, to follow a certain route there, stopping at different stations, and at the last one he picks up rocks and throws them at an object or objects representing the shaitan, the devil. This is who we Jews are in the fever swamps of the Arab Muslim mind, the mind of the semi-literate Ishmael clones, for whom this kind of violence is what they live for. It's a way of life for them. They don't pine for a Palestinian state in which they can all live under their vine and fig tree in peace and prosperity to raise their children in a wholesome environment. No, these are Arab thugs for whom politics is an excuse to throw and launch rocks and rockets at Jews. So, the IAF had a busy night on Friday, Shabbos, bombing Hamas buildings, offices, training facilities, tunnels, which triggered 150 air raid sirens through the night. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish people were told not to be more than 15 seconds away from a safe room, a bomb shelter. It's a kind of house arrest, you know. The Arab Goy in the year 2018 has curtailed these Jews' geographic freedom and mobility, like putting an electronic ankle bracelet on a convict to keep him restricted in house arrest. So all these Jews were forced by the Muslims in Gaza to lose sleep and lose their freedom of movement. It reminds yours truly of the lines in airports these days for the security check. There are still plenty of people of a certain age, I'm one of them, who remember arriving at airports at the last minute and boarding your flight without a security check. Those were years in which those who came to the airport to greet you and pick you up waited for you at the gate. And the reason for this annoying routine could not be simpler to express. The answer in two words is Arabs, Muslims. Whenever I'm forced to remove my shoes, I'm reminded of how Jews in 18th century North Africa were required when walking past a mosque to remove their shoes as a sign of respect for the one true faith, the correct faith. And here are billions of air travelers in the 21st century forced to remove their shoes too, thanks to the barbaric violence committed against innocent air travelers by today's Muslim sky pirate terrorists.
מזמור לדוד, השם רואי לא אחסר, בנאות דשא ירביצני, על מי מנוחות ינהלני. נפשי ישובב ינחני במעג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עמדי שבתך ומשענתך המה ינחמוני תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי נשענת בשמן ראשי כוסי רוויה אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים לאורך ימים מזמור לדוד השם רואי לא יחסר בנאות דשא ירביצני על מי מנוחות ינעלני נפשי ישובב ינחני במעג לצדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות לא עיר הרע כי אתה עמדי תנאי ננאי נאי ננאי ננאי Da-nai, na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, na-na-na-na-na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-nai, da-na-na-na-na-na-nai, 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 da-na-na-na-na-nai. Da-na-na-na-na-nai. שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפניי שולחן נגד צהריי. נשענת בשמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה. אך טוב החסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי. ושבתי בבית השם לאורך ימים. לאורך ימים דנאי ננאי 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 דנאי ננאי ננאי דנאי ננאי 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 ננאי
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show Bulletproof here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Yes, for 70 years, the Gaza Strip has been a suppurating wound, bleeding Israel, forcing the country to spend mountains of national treasure on technical defenses like the Iron Dome, whose every launch costs $100,000. When are Israel's leaders going to remove the spiritual cataracts from their eyes and see that there is no hope for ever escaping these periodic outbursts of aggression out of Gaza so long as the current structure of relations and behaviors remains? We left Gaza in 2005 in the hope that by leaving, the people there would stop hating and attacking us. But of course, that never happened. And the failure of that to happen gives us the moral right to put an end to these periodic attacks by doing whatever is necessary. I am a peaceful guy. I prefer the peaceful route, the compassionate, the humane route. I think Israel's electricity grid and water supply are intertwined with those in Gaza. And so it would take, say, 5 years for Israel to disconnect from Gaza. And in those 5 years, the people there will find others to sustain them. For after 5 years, Israel will walk away, cut off all support, and let the world take care of these people. Let's be honest, the Gaza Strip is a wholly artificial conglomeration of people supported by contributions from the UN, from foreign governments, from charitable organizations, foundations. There is no self-supporting community there. 70% of the people live on these contributions, made not surprisingly by many of the same foundations, like the Rockefeller and the Ford Foundation with their anti-Jew history. Same nations that have persecuted the Jewish people for millennia, the British, the French, the Germans, all of them give the money to the people in Gaza. After the Holocaust became common knowledge, that kind of Jew hatred became gauche, politically distasteful, socially distasteful. After Auschwitz, Jew jokes disappeared from posh dinner parties because all had seen the newsreels in the cinema of the horror of those death camps. That kind of 19th and 20th century anti-Semitism, as it was called, went out of fashion, and so as anti-Semitism itself was a concept invented in the 19th century to take the place of the Christian deicide charge that had gone out of fashion, so Palestinian nationalism has replaced anti-Semitism as this generation's legitimate, politically correct, acceptable way of hating Jews and justifying murdering us. The Gaza Strip, therefore, must be dismantled, and it can be done. At the very least, Israel must gird its loins and recover self-respect it loses by supplying electricity, and I think some water and certainly foodstuffs and consumer items to the very people firing rockets into our homes and synagogues and school playgrounds. What kind of behavior is this on our part? Israel has the right, according to the Mandatory Map of Palestine, 1922, to claim the Gaza Strip as occupied Israeli territory, as surely as World Anti-Jewry refers to Judea and Samaria, their true names, as occupied Palestinian territory. And as the rightful owners of the Gaza Strip, Israel has the right to force these squatters out. The anti-Israel polemic in our time, as anti-Jew delusions commonly have been, is characterized by the inversion of the truth. For example, in the 1950s and 60s, the world was witness to what everyone called the Arab-Israeli conflict, which is about the Arab drive to destroy the free Jewish state that had declared independence in 1948. But since the 1970s, the conflict has been rebranded and is now called the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, in which Israel denies statehood to the Palestinians. Likewise, the conventional anti-Jew wisdom in our time is that Israel has turned Gaza into a concentration camp, imprisoning the Palestinians there, when the truth is that they're not Palestinians and are kept there by all the countries in the world, starting with their Arab brethren, that refuse to give them a new life. It is world anti-Jewry that keeps these people in those slums. The sky would not fall when Israel rebrands the Gaza Strip as occupied Israeli territory and announces its plan for the future to cut off all support for the people there, led by these Muslim Brotherhood criminals who like to fire rockets into our homes. One problem is the big business in Israel of continuing to supply Gaza. Only a week or so ago, the Prime Minister restricted the flow of goods into the Strip to humanitarian items. In other words, all these 3 months, most of them, of this aggression at the barrier and then the flying incendiary kites and balloons, Israel was still sending hundreds of semi-trailers into the Strip every day. Halting that trade would upset a lot of people in Israel. In a word, we have become addicted to the status quo, which contributes to the absence of even one Israeli leader suggesting a way to end Gaza as a threat. Gaza is enemy territory that is being used to attack us with military-grade weapons, which licenses us to drive the enemy from this place, as the IDF drove the Arab Legion from Judea and Samaria in 1967. Israel has the right to end this constant violence, these homicidal episodes. Israel has to throw some cold water in its face and see the insanity of Israel simultaneously suffering these attacks and sustaining the enemy that commits them. Insanity as a word derives from the Latin sano, meaning clean, as in sanitation, And for sure, there is pollution in the thinking of the people of Israel, who tolerate this absurd situation in which we periodically have to bomb the crap out of these barbarians to make them stop without ever turning off the electricity in Gaza. For sure, if we were to do that right now, there would justifiably be howls around the world, for the overwhelming number of victims would not be the desperados in Hamas. So I say, don't do that, but announce a future date, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it takes, in the future, doesn't matter, as the only way to address this thorn in our side ever since day one of the reborn Jewish state. And now for our last item on a subject entirely, but maybe not, the anti-Jewism of it is in the background. It seems that Spain has just elected a national beauty queen who is a so-called transgender man. Spain, the wonderful Italian journalist writing on the Gatestone website recently, this is Giulio Meotti, he judged Spain the most anti-Semitic country in Western Europe, which makes sense given their Spanish Catholic background, and so it is good that they have done this, this idolatry of raising high a castrated man, a symbol of beauty in Spain, which, like other Western Europeans, is not having babies, leastwise not enough to sustain the people. This is happening all over Western Europe, which will suffer as a result, as never before in its history, from the Islamic menace growing like a cancer in the body politic of Spain. Okay, that's it for this week's edition of Phantom Nation, named for the book of the same name, an atomic bomb of a book, available on Amazon or on order through your local bookstore. Once again, today's music was the wonderful a cappella magic of Yosef Karduner in honor of the 3 weeks. I don't know about you, but I miss my music. Such days of abstinence, of fasting from this pleasure, are another brilliant psychological exercise. Psychology, the word derived from the Greek word psuche, meaning soul. These 3 weeks stirs our souls to remember the heart and soul of the Jewish people, Jerusalem and its temples. Until next time, I'm Shai Ben Tekoa.
Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem Oseh shamayim va'aretz Al yiten lamot raglecha Al yanum shomrecha הנה לא ינום, ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך, השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ועד עולם. שיר למעלות, אשא עיניי אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי, עזרי עושה שמיים וארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך אל ינום שומרך הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומרך השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם Nine, 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 nine. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומרך, השם צילך על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך, השם ישמור.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.